Hello and welcome to the Relationship Anxiety Podcast. I'm Rose Mikkel, and today we are talking about amplifying attraction. Hey friends, what's up? Welcome to the podcast. Y'all, I have something so freaking fun for you guys. I can't say what it is yet, but it's coming soon. You are going to see an announcement on the podcast soon. It's going to pop up, so keep an eye out. There's going to be something special there. And if you're curious what it is, I'm going to be giving some hints over on Instagram at Mikkel Kristen. So go follow along there if you are wanting to figure it out sooner than everyone else. But I am literally so excited about it. And that's all I can say for now. So today we are talking about amplifying attraction, how to create more attraction in your relationship. So I am very excited to talk to you guys about this today. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about and explore. So, first thing is, let's talk about what attraction is. And I love thinking about attraction in terms of like a magnet, because we, you know, can talk about like you have the polar opposites of a magnet that are attracted to each other, right? So the north pole of a magnet and the south pole of a magnet. And the attraction is that force that pulls them together until they are joined as one, right? Or like one. They don't fully become one, but until they meet and they touch. So Google, definition Google says, attraction is the force that objects exert on one another, making them want to move closer. So it's that like pull towards another object. So if we think about that in terms of not as much objects, but people, there is distance and then there is a pull to come together. So especially if we think about in terms of sexual attraction, makes a lot of sense where literally like you have this pull to the person until you are engaged in sex where you are quite literally acting like one being and you are joined together. Now, that feeling, that pull, will not always exist. You may notice it happened a lot in the beginning of the relationship and not as much now. Or maybe you notice like it's always been kind of minimal where you maybe felt more attraction towards people you weren't in a relationship with. And attraction is something that a lot of times we want to choose our partner based on attraction because we hear a lot about it in the media. We hear a lot of people talking about attraction. Being with someone who's attractive is something that people can kind of boast about and will brag about, so we can even define our sense of worth on it. But attraction is a very fluid thing, and it can come and it can go. And when you are in a space of not experiencing attraction, I think it's really important to not just like, oh man, like either I'm just gonna be stuck feeling this forever, or I gotta go find someone else that I just always feel it with. I think that's when a lot of times we look at attraction as this very externalized thing that we have no control over. And we're looking for our partner to give it to us. And if we're not experiencing it, then we're like, man, they're not giving it to me. So I just have to be okay without feeling attracted, or I need to go find someone else I am attracted to. It's a very black and white way of thinking. And it has what we call an external locus of control, where psychologists talk about the idea of what we can control, internal versus external. So someone who has an external locus of control is very focused on things outside of themselves and needing everything outside of themselves to be a certain way in order to have the joy and happiness they want in life. versus someone with an internal locus of control. They are very focused on their own power and what they're able to do to have the success and joy they want in life. So when we are saying, dang it, partner's not giving me the attraction I want, and we start to blame them for it, we're having an external locus of control, which means we're going to feel powerless, we're going to feel stuck, frustrated, victim-y towards our partner, blaming them, trying to fix them. Versus internal is when we are taking ownership of our experience with attraction. We are owning it for ourselves. And that's what I want to walk you guys through today, is how to take that inside yourself and start feeling in charge of your experience around attraction towards your partner. Now, number one thing, we have to not judge moments of lack of attraction. We can't judge ourselves for it. I know that temptation is there. We want to be like, oh, you're a horrible, awful partner for not feeling attracted to them. And you are so mean and awful. And like, we give ourselves major guilt trips over this, especially if you have a partner that seems to be very attracted to you. Or say your partner is wanting sex and you're not, then you might be like, oh, what's wrong with you? Look, see, they feel this way towards you. Like, you owe them the same thing. And you know what's really not sexy? Guilt trips. You cannot guilt trip yourself into feeling attracted towards your partner. You can't do it. Doesn't work. And a lot of times, like, it's just our natural reflexive way of trying to create change. So if you're wanting more attraction, or you're wanting to fix feeling not attracted, that guilt and that judgment is just kind of the natural way that we are trying to create it. So just know, like, that's why we do it. Like, makes sense that you want to judge yourself, and it's not actually going to move you closer towards your goal. So we have to really do work around allowing yourself to drop that judgment and recognizing, like, you are human. You are not always going to feel attraction. Attraction is this very, like, subconscious thing that we don't always understand. And they're human. They're not always going to show up in the most appealing, perfected way. So there are going to be periods and spaces of not feeling attraction, and giving yourself space for that. I think that's so, so important. Just like dropping that pressure off of the attraction will create a lot of space. I noticed just by doing this, like, not like checking, am I attracted? Like, I would do that every time I saw him. He'd get home for the day, I'd see him, be like, am I attracted to him every day? And so I'd be like a little, I'd be like zooming into every aspect of him, like under a magnifying glass. That was the word I'm looking for. To like examine every aspect of him. And, you know, more often than not, looking at someone in that lens, they're not going to be attractive to you. If you've ever, like, had one of those big magnifying mirrors where you can see every little pore in your face, like, whenever we look at, I look at myself in that, I'm like, I do not look good. And I think anyone in that kind of frame of reference looks a little wonky when we start looking really, really close. And I think that's what happens with our partners. When we start looking really, really close at them, we start putting them under a microscope, we're going to find flaws, and we're going to amplify that sense of lack of attraction. So when we give ourselves space to say, you know what, it's okay to not feel attracted all the time, to allow ourselves to not feel attraction, what we do is we take that microscope off. We take that microscope off of looking at every piece of them very intensely. We give ourselves permission to relax. Second thing is, I want you to know when you feel that lack of attraction, very often that can be a projection of our own insecurities in our body. Let me say that one more time. Often our lack of attraction towards other person can be a projection of our own insecurities. This is what I see often with clients, where when there's this obsession around attraction, and we are able to take that microscopic lens off of our partner, we stop hyper-focusing on how they look. What happens and what like bubbles up often is this own, this dislike towards our own bodies, our own insecurities around the way we look and appear. So I see this often where like one of my clients, she was really, really focused on how fit her partner was and how healthy he was being. And when we kind of pulled back that focus on him, what it morphed into was her own focus on her own body and being fit and taking really, really good care of it, and insecurities about her own weight. So sometimes it literally can be a direct correlation of like when you're focusing on your partner's weight, it's about your weight. When you're focusing on your partner's hair, it's about your hair. Sometimes it can literally be like that. Other times it can just be this general like you're nitpicking their body because we have our own body insecurities that are going on. So sometimes it can literally be that projection of our own body insecurities. And other times it's a projection of insecurities in other areas. So if we have a sense of lack of confidence in ourselves, a lack of feeling like we belong or fit in with other people, we might look to our partner appearing a certain way to get a sense of belonging. I remember, I think I've shared this a time or two before on the podcast, but I can remember from a young age when I would not fit in, when I would have other kids be mean to me, and I would create this whole revenge fantasy in my head where I was like, just watch, I'm gonna grow up and there's gonna be this super hot guy who, he wants me. He doesn't want any of you mean girls. He wants me. And so, well, haha, I win. It's literally like revenge fantasy that my like little, whatever, 10-year-old brain came up with, which actually makes a lot of sense because that is kind of the story we're offered in movies when we see like Cinderella, who's, you know, treated poorly. And that's kind of how she finally like elevates herself out of the situation with these mean girls and proves her own worth is by earning the love from the prince. So that insecurity, even like within ourselves, like feeling like we aren't cool enough, like we don't belong, like we're unworthy in some way, we can then project onto our partner. And this happens in so many ways, but often we're like wanting our partner to behave a certain way or look a certain way because that's what we think will earn appreciation and admiration from other people. A lot of times when I coach people on attraction, I ask like, would this thing that you're focusing on, would it bother you if we were on an island somewhere and there weren't other people? And a lot of times, like, the answer is no. So much of it can really bubble down to what we think other people are perceiving of us. Next thing is, I think it's really important to create some curiosity, not only towards when we feel that lack of attraction, that's where we might start to notice those insecurities that have bubbled up. And curiosity is such a beautiful antidote to judgment, but also bringing curiosity to moments that we do feel attraction. Bringing curiosity to what is getting sparked within us. What is that experience like within our body? What are we noticing within our partner? And even bringing curiosity towards attraction we feel towards other people. So I know this one may freak y'all out, but I think this is really powerful work to do. A lot of times we just try to not notice other people and not feel attracted to anyone else. And we judge and shame ourselves for that. And we make ourselves a bad person for that. But often, like, that whole thing does not, it just tends to shut off our attraction altogether. It doesn't really amplify attraction towards our partner. Because again, attraction is such a subconscious thing. It's very creative. And so a lot of times, like, it like can be channeled in random ways. Now, we get to decide what we're going to do with the attraction. Just because we experience attraction towards another person doesn't mean we need to go pursue that, right? And I think that's often where, when we have anxiety and OCD, we have a hard time distinguishing a thought from what we actually intentionally do. So having that trust in yourself that when you feel attraction towards someone else, that doesn't automatically mean we're going to go act on it and we're going to go do something about it. Having that trust in yourself and your relationship that you do not always act on impulse and feeling. Then from that space, you can bring a curiosity to the attraction of like, what was it there in that person that I felt drawn to? What was it there in my partner that I felt drawn to? Like, okay, I felt lack of attraction here and then I felt attraction here. What was it about? And you might start to notice some themes. Like, I tend to feel attraction when I perceive that someone is unavailable, right? So it's, oh, I felt attraction towards that person in high school that never was interested in me. And I just saw on Instagram. Okay, interesting. Oh, I also noticed I kind of felt attraction to my partner when, like, he was way too busy for me. Okay, interesting. Oh, I noticed this little spark of attraction towards this character on the TV show, and they're, like, being really mean. Okay. Oh, I noticed attraction when my partner wears dark colors. Okay, interesting. And, like, it'll be really random, but let yourself just kind of notice it. I even have a coach, Amanda Lauder. I've had her come on the podcast before, and she actually has an exercise where she'll actually have you blueprint out like things that you noticed you were very first attracted to when you were younger. And sometimes it will be like really, really random, like characters that you saw on like different cartoons or TV shows. So our attraction is very like, again, it's very creative. It's very unconscious. And a lot of times it can be drawn to things that feel distant to us, that feel unavailable, which makes sense in that term of attraction because there is, in order for us to be pulled towards something, there has to be distance. And that's why many people will notice a lot of attraction in the beginning of a relationship and not as much as they become more comfortable with each other. A lot of times, attraction and feeling that pull towards someone can actually be very much in contrast to the safety and comfort of a long-term relationship. And we kind of have these conflicting desires because on one hand, we want that attraction, that mystery, that pull, but also we want familiarity. We want comfort. We want safety. And so these two desires we have are kind of at odds with each other. And it feels like maybe we have to give up one or the other, right? Where maybe we might be like, oh, if I want that attraction and that excitement, I have to give up the comfort and familiarity of a long-term relationship. Or we might be like seeking out different relationships and that attraction with new people all the time, but then we're missing out on that true, genuine intimacy and connection with someone. And so if you're someone who desires to build a life with somebody, then, you know, we're going to create more of that safety and that comfort and the familiarity. And so then it's like, how do we introduce back in some of that attraction and that unknown? And so often like distance, that space can create room for that pull. And a huge part of how we do that is leaning into our polarity, which is leaning into our differences. And this is all about learning how to lean into more of your masculine or feminine essence, which we're not going to have time to dive into today, but I'm going to do another episode on all of that because often, like I found for me, when that I don't feel attracted was getting triggered, it has a lot to do with that polarity. that sense of, is there enough distance? And are we leaning into the roles, the polarity that we play that helps pull us together? So stay tuned for more on that. But the last piece I want to leave you guys with is, I think it's really important to recognize if we're seeking ego attraction versus heart-centered attraction. So if you haven't listened yet, go listen to my episode on ego love. But again, our ego is that part of us that wants to prove its worth, that wants to be better than everyone else, that sees itself as very separate from other people. So it has this very similar approach with attraction. Our ego will want to have the most attractive person. It will want your partner to look way better than everybody else. Two is, it'll be very preoccupied on how everyone else perceives your partner. Your ego will want everyone else to see your partner as so amazing and so great and so good looking. I feel like for a lot of my life, my attraction was really defined by, do other people think the person I'm with is attractive or not? Do other people find this person attractive? And then very, very focused on physical appearance. I think our ego is really that like part of us that wants to zoom in and nitpick and seek perfection in every aspect of how our partner appears. Heart-centered attraction is not ranking beauty. It's not preoccupied with proving your partner is better looking than other people. It doesn't feel threatened when someone else is attractive or beautiful. In fact, I think heart-centered attraction can celebrate that and even take inspiration from when someone else is beautiful or attractive. Like, I always like the thought of like, this is a beautiful person that God made. We don't have to make it mean anything about your relationship. Your heart is not as focused on what everyone else thinks. It's not trying to get that approval from everyone else. And when we're in our heart-centered attraction, you are drawn to the overall essence of the person. You are not super focused on like, oh, they have this like nose that I like, or oh, they have like they're thin enough, or they are good enough at this thing, or whatever the thing is that we kind of tend to nitpick. It's not really hyper focusing on specific aspects of the person's appearance or certain qualities they have. It's just looking at the overall essence of who they are as a person and their goodness and again, that like masculine or feminine energy within them that you're drawn to. So that is kind of the difference between our ego attraction versus heart-centered attraction. And I find ego attraction, we're never going to be quite satisfied and always kind of wanting more, versus heart-centered is going to feel content and open and, again, very creative and expansive. And last thing is just to know is it is such a unique personal thing that's fluid and it changes over time. And again, I think sometimes we get into like, oh, this is the type of person I'm attracted to. And I almost feel like it's kind of like shopping and we're like, okay, I like this kind of clothing item and this is what's in style. And trends can be very dictated. What other people tell us looks good. And I think our attraction often can be like that, where if we have a type, then we might be like, oh, this is what looks good. This is what other people are saying is attractive. But that's going to change over time. It's going to change what society says is good looking is going to change. There's an actually really interesting study where it shows the different male body types that were ideal and female body types and how it changes over time. So it's going to be like fashion trends. And if we're trying to keep up, if our sense of attraction is defined by what everyone else thinks, then we're going to have to be swapping people because we're going to need like a new man, like you need a new purse all the time. So instead, rather than letting the way your partner looks or what society says is attractive, that external locus of control define your attraction, is bringing it internally and getting in tune with yourself and being able to recognize like how you create attraction, how you build it, and becoming the creator of that experience for yourself. So then as the way your partner's body changes over time, as they shift as a person, as you shift as a person, as what society says changes, that you're not at the whim of that and you're able to sustain a long-term loving relationship because you know how to create and interject that attraction into the relationship and you aren't subject to the whims of it. So that's what I have for you guys today. Thanks so much for tuning in and keep an eye out for my announcement. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.